Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
When interacting with people who are different from yourself, the important thing is to remember to treat them people the same as you would want to be treated. Treat everyone the same as everyone else. When you treat everyone else the same, you have less of a chance of there being a problem of condescension or thinking that you are treating them as they are more important than you. When I was born, it was 1978, and I had spina bifida, which is a birth defect where the back wasn't fully formed and the spine was exposed and the damage was done to the nerves. The doctor who examined me told my mother I would never walk, talk, feed, or dress myself, and I should probably be institutionalized. That angered me when I was told. She told me that when I was 15. And the problem with that was she was only in her 20s. And the doctor didn't know. You don't know what you don't know, but the problem with that is if you didn't speak it to them correctly, that changes you as a person. I 100% believe that broke her in some way. And you need to be able to talk to the person and be upfront with them, but at the same time, hold yourself back a little bit and just examine what you are talking, trying to explain to them, but be easier with what the information that you're giving them so that you don't upset them as much as you do, or you don't like change their whole thought process. My mother told me that story when I was 15. And it angered me. It made me feel horrible for her. And it is a story that, even though I have surmounted everything that he's ever said to her about what I can do, it still sticks with me almost 40 years later. When I started college, I began on the newspaper, and started interacting with all these people, all these kids who were in their late teens, early 20s. And they welcomed me, appreciated me, and they, at that age, were able to interact with people who are different from themselves instinctively. And that is what we want to learn. That is what I'm trying to teach people. It's just how to treat people the same as you want to be treated. And don't come from a place of, I'm going to meet you where you're at. Meet them with compassion and empathy and understanding. I've been married twice. My first wife, I always say when I'm describing her, I describe her as a verbally, psychologically, and abusively emotionally psycho nutbag. That's the way I call her. She definitely didn't know how to interact with people who are different from themselves, which is surprising because she was a nurse. You need to be able to be welcoming and talk to the person and receive what they're saying. Like, she would yell at me. And I think because I'm disabled, she just assumed it was okay. And I would retreat and fall back into myself. And the more she yelled, the more quiet I got, and the more angry she got. So that definitely made me feel weak. Definitely made me feel less than and unimportant. Current wife, she is the love of my life. She made me feel stronger. She's taught me how to speak up for myself. She has taught me how to stand up for myself, metaphorically speaking. And I learned a different form of communication through her. I learned how to talk to myself and others better because of her. Now, I want to talk a little bit about vulnerability. My favorite saying is vulnerability is the best place to grow. And it came from a story that happened a few years ago. I was in a parking lot in a garage, and I needed to park in a handicapped spot, but the one spot that I could see, someone was parked in it, like on the lines next to it. So I couldn't get out of my car. And I asked him to move, and he said no. And then he proceeded to argue with me and he said at one point he said, "I don't care if you're in a wheelchair, I'll kick your butt." And he didn't say but for this talk I'll say that he said that he didn't know how to interact with people who are different from themselves. He took the visual of my disability and use that to be aggressive and speak down to me and put me in a place where he thought I would be vulnerable enough to fall back into myself and retreat. But to me, vulnerability is a place of strength. When you're vulnerable, you're open, you're raw, and you're able to receive better, in my experience anyway. And after he said that, and we had this argument, he left and came back. And then finally, when he left the last time, it was the scariest I'd ever been. He was only in his early 20s, all late 20s. So he was in his 20s. And I knew because I'm in martial arts, I knew that if he started something, I was going to be okay. However, it was the scariest I'd ever been. because people with disabilities in wheelchairs, for the most part, are very vulnerable. All you really have to do to take advantage of me is push me out of my chair, and I'm pretty much done. But that's why I'm in martial arts, because I wanted to be able to learn how to protect myself, take care of myself, and come at any interaction with surprise. Like, if you want to take advantage of me, it's going to be difficult. That's what I wanted people to know. Another issue that I have is when people want to help me and they don't ask for it. There have been many times when I'm going through a parking lot or a hotel, and someone will come up to me and just start pushing. And they won't ask. They'll just think it's okay. And I'm a personal space issue. I'm a personal space issue kind of guy. If you don't know me, don't touch me unless you ask. If you ask and I say yes, it's all good. You can do whatever you need to do. But ask first, because just it's a form of privacy breach, and it changes the way people think about you if you just come at someone and think it's okay to help them because I'm trying to help them, rather than asking for permission first to talk to judge them. I once went to a doctor's office, and it was a small office. So they took, I sat on the chair on this bench, and they took my wheelchair out of the office. And a few minutes after I got in the office, the doctor came in and said, "Oh, I see you're in a wheelchair. How did you get here?" And I said, "My car is in the parking lot." And he said to me, "Oh, you can drive like normal people." No. So over my time of being alive, anytime I felt less than or small, it was because of remembering what the doctor told my mother. It wasn't until that moment when I felt like less of a person because of something someone else said. And it was especially hard because of who it came from. He was a medical professional who interacted with people who was different from himself every single day. And he still didn't know how to interact with people and talk to people who were different from himself. What do you do when you have, when you're in my daily routine is I would get up when I was younger, when I would get up, go to school, come home, go to bed. That was the way I lived for years, because I just didn't have any friends. And that was just my life. And that was the start of my depression. And just feeling different was where I came from. That was where I was born, where I thought of myself as, it was just different. 2 years ago, was the last time I thought about suicide. I woke up and I had to go on, I had to go to a physical therapy appointment because a couple, like my wife and I had just been in a car accident, and our lawyer had set us up with physical therapy appointments. And this particular appointment, my wife wasn't going because she had some work to do. And so I was going by myself. And before I go anywhere, I always take our dog for a walk. So I'm taking my dog for a walk. And a family member had called me. And this family member, we've always had a contentious relationship, and they've never really known how to interact with me. On, they've always thought of themselves as higher, or at least that's how, that's what it seems to me. And they started asking me questions that were personal, that had nothing to do with them. And anytime I say, I'm not telling you that, or I tell them a little bit, and I don't tell them the whole thing, they always call me a sneak and a liar. They don't know how to interact with people who are, they think that because they are a certain person and this other person is over here, they think that they could talk to them differently. And the way I am, I've always thought, talk to everyone the same. So this person, this family member, called me a sneak and a liar, and it really angered me, hurt me. And I went into my apartment, brought my dog back, and I thought to myself, that's it. I'm done. I can't take it anymore. It's too intrusive. It's making me miserable. So I thought, I'm going to go to the doctor, take my pocket knife, take a bottle of muscle relaxer pills that the doctor had given me, go to the physical therapy, do what I gotta do, come out, take a bottle of pills, cut my wrists, and take a long nap. And since then, I've learned how to interact with myself better than that, thankfully. But at the time, when I got into my apartment, I was putting all the pills and the knife in my pouch. And my wife was in the next room. And she was doing work on the computer. And she didn't know what had just happened, where my head was at, or what I was planning to do. And that still kills me. That still hurts me very much. So I went to physical therapy, and thinking about it, I don't even think I studied Bidewer. And that hurts even more. So I go to physical therapy. I do my thing. I do all the stretching and the weightlifting and all the things. Then I get out and I plan to, I'm going to do it. And before I do it, thankfully, I reached out to a friend of mine and we talked and I cried and I vented. And he was able to talk me down. And he was able to change the way I was looking at things. And I put the knife and the pills away. And then that was not the last time I thought about suicide, but I've been able to look at myself and look at situations differently. That's helped me to look at, it's helped me to interact with myself on a different level, which is the important thing, the most important thing, is learning how to interact with yourself. Because interacting with other people is important, but how you talk to yourself can really change your life and how interactions with other people as well as yourself happen. It's important to love yourself I hated myself for 3 years. When I was younger, I hated myself for 3 years. And the worst words you can say are, I hate myself. When you realize those words came from yourself, and they, it makes it worse and harder on you. What are you going to do about how you feel about yourself? That is the question that you need to ask yourself most before you listen to questions that other people tell you. You need to learn how to interact with yourself. And that is the most important thing. Learning how to interact with yourself as well as other people.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit connectedleadersacademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.